the letter to the Ephesians is written by a man called Paul, and that's the place I want us to turn now, Ephesians chapter 2. And some of the verses in Ephesians that will be maybe very familiar. I remember learning them way back and have continually been blessed by them. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And, you know, these words were written by Paul. If there was ever someone who could be ashamed of his past, or even maybe in a kind of a way in which, you know, sometimes, you know, the enemy can blind our eyes, someone who also could be so proud of his past somehow, even though he was persecuting Christians because he thought he was better than them. And yet God wonderfully, by his grace, met with this man, humbled this man, changed this man, and transformed him into someone whose life and words and teaching are still impacting lives all around the world, because this man ended up being someone who kept pointing people to Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what stage of life you're at or what's going on for you this week, but this week I encourage you, keep looking up to Jesus and keep pointing others to him, and it is amazing the impact that our lives can have. So I want to read these words and then just have us reflect on them briefly before we come to communion. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10, he says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I want to talk tonight about just those simple words right at the heart of it. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I want to talk about this whole thing of the gift of God and the gifts of God. So let me pray and ask God to open up maybe this very familiar scripture to us and just this whole theme as we come to this communion table tonight. So Lord Jesus, open our eyes. Open our eyes to your indescribable gift. Lord, stir faith in us as we come to your word, as we come to this table. Help me, help us, I pray. Thank you for the things you've blessed me with as I've thought about this, and just open my eyes to you. Thank you for some of the things that others have written and said. And Lord, thank you above all for your word. Thank you above all for your son, the word incarnate, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as many of you know, I've been away on holiday, and one of the things that I've noticed, particularly during holidays, but this is generally true as well, is that I love to be generous to my kids. And I noticed on holiday, as I was thinking about this theme and had been aware that I was going to be speaking on this, I noticed that it's not just me as a dad who likes to be generous to their kids, that you go into some of these places on holiday and you see families and you see dads, and sometimes mums trying to say to the dads, no, don't try to do that. But you see dads particularly who want to give to their kids good gifts. Maybe it's things they ask for, and maybe sometimes it's to encourage them to stop asking. But other times it's just because they want to. And I know in my own heart there's this heart of, I want to make this special. I want to bless them. Not necessarily because they deserve it, but because they're my kids and I love them. And we had some time with some wider sort of family and relatives as well, and hearing about the kind of the generation above and how they would also just love to do that and on holiday. And I was thinking about, you know, if that's me or you know, Joe Bloggs, who I was kind of watching at some of these events, the kind of any dad who's there with his kids, how much more when we come to our Heavenly Father? So here we are, and it's August. It's the summer, and just God's lavish goodness on people who aren't thinking anything of him. And today they're maybe out there or seeing the sunshine, enjoying the weather, and it's just grace. And how much more then as God's children, those who've been adopted into his family, does God want to today just again remind us of his lavish generosity and to give us good gifts. You know, James writes and he says that every good and perfect gift comes from where? From above, from the Father who loves to give so generously to us. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but so many of the parables that Jesus told actually have the Father figure, the God figure in the parable as someone who is kind of outlandishly generous. So you think about maybe one of the most famous parables of the prodigal son. And the father in the prodigal son, he gives like half of his wealth, the inheritance, even before he dies, to his rebellious son. He just gives it to him. And then when he goes away and squanders it and comes back, he just gives to him. And just before that, you've had the story of the kind of the lost coin, and the God figure in that is, it just throws a party. This woman who found her lost coin, and she's like, wait, let's throw a party. And or you see the ones about the workers in the vineyard, and those who kind of come first and start working, they get a certain amount, the right wage. Those who come later, do you know what wage they get? The same. And those who come just in the final hour, do you know what wage they get? The same. And when the guys say, well, how come they get the same as what we got? What's the reply? The reply is, well, you know, am I not allowed to be generous to those I want? And the lavish generosity of God displayed in so many of these parables, I encourage you to look at it again. Or you think of his miracles, where Jesus doesn't just do a little, but he does so much more. We have a cup representing the kind of wine that they would have at feasts tonight. And Jesus' first miracle in John's gospel was what? It was turning water into wine. Not just a little water, but lots of water into wine. And when he fed the 5,000, did he kind of just get it right so they just had enough to eat? No, it was so that everyone was satisfied. I don't know if you've been out on a long kind of walk and had a picnic and you just actually, you know, that sense of everyone satisfied. And then there were basketfuls left over. This is the lavish generosity of God. You know, they go fishing, and how many fish do they catch? The end of John's gospel, 153 fish. It's kind of lavish generosity of God. You look at the world. You know, you go bit away sometimes out into the countryside at night, and you look up and you can see a few more stars than you can in Brighton and Hove. And there's not just one or two. You know, there's millions, trillions of them. I mean, it's just massive. He made the stars also. The goodness and greatness and generosity of God. And so just as a little aside, as I think about that, it actually makes me as a dad, but mainly as a Christian, just want to keep being generous because my Father in heaven is generous. And I just encourage you as a side, as you press into this theme tonight of the gift of God and you think about the generosity of God, allow it to just fan a flame afresh, that sense of, God, this is what you're like to me. I want to be someone who has open hands and receives from you, but also open hands that share what you've given me with others. So our passage, Ephesians 2:8, says this: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And I want to talk tonight, the first thing I just want to sort of zero in on, this whole thing of gifts as we come tonight to the communion table, is that we come to remember the gift. Do you notice here in this passage that it says, for this is the gift of God. That God is generous, he gives us loads of gifts, but there is also something at this communion table which is itself a gift, but that here at this communion table we remember the gift. There is a gift that God has given us which actually surpasses any other gift. There is a gift that actually any time I remember this gift, I go, wow, that is amazing. It is the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. It is the gift of God who actually gave himself to us. I love this quote from Andrew Wilson. I've really enjoyed, before I was away on holiday, reading a great book of his called The Spirit and the Sacrament. It's kind of about things like communion and baptism, but actually it's a lot about gifts and about this whole theme. And he said this: when God gives, it is for the blessing of everybody. How wonderful. He just gives in a way that's the blessing of everybody. And never is this truer than it is of Jesus. What can be given that compares with God himself? The incarnation is the most extravagant gift in all of history or literature. It is staggering that God would give himself, the maker of the universe, holds it all in his hands, would become a baby and make himself nothing. And as Paul writes in Philippians 2, go to the cross. This is the gift of God. That is a gift that's more like a kind of, again, I've been on holiday and you take your suitcase or your bag and you kind of, the bag itself is it's kind of got other things in it, hasn't it? You kind of unpack it. But this gift is a bit more like receiving an amazing trunk. One of those kind of huge travel trunks. I think we've got a picture up here. It's like a treasure trove. The gift of Christ Jesus, the gift that we're remembering tonight, the gift of his incarnation and of his giving of himself for us. That gift is itself like a kind of chest that you open up that you could spend the rest of your life unpacking and discovering wonderful things within it. And I wonder, do you think you've got to the bottom of it yet? Do you think you've unpacked every corner? Because I tell you, however long you've been thinking about the gift that is in Jesus Christ, there is more in the box. There's more in him that we can discover. I love some of those passages that where Paul writes in Colossians, he says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you need wisdom for anything at the moment? Hey, in Christ, in this gift that we're remembering tonight, in him and what he's done for us. Well, you think about this theme of salvation. One of the amazing things about this theme of salvation that it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift from God. It's amazing how often we think it is from ourselves. That we actually try and think, we're the ones trying to get everything right. But no, God's saying, no, this whole gift of Christ reminds us that our salvation comes from him. And I've found it so helpful to just remember again what he has done for me. I've known about God saving me and his love for me since as long as I can remember. I was 5 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. I remember it clearly. We were hearing this morning how even as a young child you can come to know the Lord and receive more of him. And so I've been unpacking this suitcase for a while, as many of you have. But in recent weeks, as I've been thinking about this theme, I've realized that one of the things about salvation is that the more we realize how great was our need, the more we realize how wonderful was God's grace. And this whole theme of the gifts of God has just helped me unpack something fresh about the gift of Jesus Christ for us and his salvation for us. So let me help you just by putting it like this. You see, one of the things that has happened to us all is that we have believed the enemy's lies about God's gifts. Now, the enemy, Satan, he has nothing to give. He doesn't give anyone anything. He's not a creator. He cannot create. He doesn't have anything to give you. But what the enemy loves to do is he loves to point us to God's gifts and try and get us to somehow doubt them or misunderstand them or to feel that we're somehow being tricked by them or that God is somehow holding something back, or he tempts us to snatch for the gifts on our terms rather than receive the gifts on God's terms. And one of the things is that the enemy is doing is he's doing that for everyone all the time, all over the place, because God is so generous, he's giving people things everywhere. Life, breath, food, drink, relationships, you know, it's all a gift. Your health, everything is a gift, and yet people take and use those things in the wrong way, or they misuse that. And every time we believe the enemy's lies, there are consequences. And yet, here's the wonderful thing. That just as that happened right back in the Garden of Evil, and the enemy came whispering his lies about God's gifts, and the shame came on the people, Adam and Eve, who first kind of believed the enemy's lies. Yet God is this God who doesn't then say, well, look, I've given you that, and you believe the enemy's lies, and that God keeps on giving. He keeps on giving, and all through the Bible you see that this theme of God's gift and grace and generosity just keeps coming and flowing. And this picture then of salvation, of us coming and remembering the gift that helps restore a kind of sense to us as we go, oh yeah, God, in your grace, you are for us. You're not trying to trick us with these gifts, as so many kind of stories of history about gifts kind of have a little angle to them. No, God's not like that. His gifts are for our good, and he gives them to us because he loves us and he's for us. And so we come, and we come to scripture in a passage like this, and if you just kind of stretch out into Ephesians, you see that the Bible's really honest about the broken mess, like we were thinking about this morning, that we're in, that when we get caught up in the lies of the enemy, we can get ensnared, we can get in a lot of pain, and yet actually the Bible so wonderfully is real about our problem, but it's then also so real about who God is and what he's like and how there's hope. So I don't know who you think of, whether it's yourself or people around you or our city, but the Bible is really real about what a mess we're in. And it's a massive mess. I love this quote of John Stott's, where he says of this passage, he says, Paul first plumbs the depth of pessimism about man and then rises to the heights of optimism about God. And it is this combination of pessimism and optimism, of despair and faith, which constitute the refreshing realism of the Bible. Brighton and Hove, you and I, the world around us, people, they're far worse. Far more trouble, far more in need. We cannot rescue ourselves. These kind of shelves and shelves of self-help that you see on the bookstores, it doesn't work. We cannot do it. The problem is far, far deeper. Brexit won't solve it. This or that government policy won't solve it. The problem is far deeper. We need a savior. We need the gift of God. In fact, we need God himself come to rescue us. But that's where I want to bring us lastly and briefly again to this table, because this table isn't just a place where we come and remember the gift, the most amazing gift of Jesus Christ for us, but this is a table where we come and we also receive a gift in a very simple and real way. Bread is a gift. Jonah has a little bedtime story which is just a lot of fun. It's a kind of poem written by a Christian, and this boy wants to thank his mum for the toast, and the mum says, oh, don't thank me, thank the man in the baker shop. And he goes to the baker shop, and the baker says, oh, don't thank me, thank the delivery man. And he goes to the delivery man, he says, oh, don't thank me, you know, it's the grain that comes from the mill. And he goes to the mill, and they say, oh, don't thank me, it's the farmer. And he goes to the farmer, and the farmer says, actually, don't thank me, it just grows because God sends the rain and the sunshine. This is bread. You know, when we give thanks for our food, it's a good thing to do because it's a gift. And this bread is again a gift, but it's actually far more than that. This bread and this cup are really powerful symbols. Symbols that though they might seem really small, though you might have taken this bread and this cup many, many times before, yet in receiving this gift again tonight, you receive something wonderful and powerful. You see, this bread and this cup are symbols that
link us and remind us of God's word. Of the time when Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Take, eat, every one of you." It's a reminder of the time he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you," and like Michael was saying, given for you for our forgiveness. And he says, "Whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again," because this bread and this cup, they connect us with the massive story and purposes of God. When you hold on to it in your hand, you remember, yeah, God promised that he was going to come back, and he's going to come back one day. God promised that he was going to forgive me, and he's actually done that. God's connecting me with people all over the world and all through history who've been part of the covenant purposes of God. And as I hold this bread and this cup, I remember that moment that Jesus is real and he really died and that he hasn't stayed dead. He's alive. And so this gift becomes a very tangible, simple thing tonight, but a powerful thing that can help and bless us and connect us with God and with one another, because we do this as a family, as a church family, but with a much wider church across the world as well tonight. So we come and receive a gift. And how do we receive gifts? Well, we come and remember that God's gifts are gifts, they're not rewards. I don't know how August is going for you. I don't know how this year is going for you. But this is not tonight a reward for having done such a great job so far this year. It's not that. It's a gift. It's a gift for however your year is going, your week is going. This is a gift. This is something that is to be received. Gifts are to be received. They cannot be earned. You and I don't deserve this tonight. It's not possible to deserve this. You cannot pay for this tonight. Isn't that amazing? It's free for whether you're rich or poor. Even people with hardly anything in all parts of the world are taking a piece of bread and a cup and sharing in this meal. These gifts are gifts that are to be enjoyed. Tonight we come and we can celebrate. This is part of a feast that's, when it was shared, it was part of the Passover feast originally. Don't have time to go into all that meant, but it's part of a feast there to be enjoyed, but they're not to be worshipped. You and I probably know what it is to go into churches or places where it feels like it's all about the gift, and we can do that. We can make all kinds of things, even sometimes gifts like God's word or the church or all kinds of things, other people, food. We can end up worshiping them rather than receiving them with joy and faith and thankfulness. And how are we meant to receive gifts? How do we receive God's grace? Well, it is again here in this passage, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So that we come with humility, humbly coming and saying again, God, thank you for your gift. Thank you. I receive it by faith with thankfulness in my heart tonight. And just coming and saying, wow, God, is this really for me? Yes. And you might think, well, that sounds like a radical thing. Well, does it matter then what I do? And that's the amazing thing about grace. It changes us. And Brian and I were talking before about how we love these verses. And I love verse 10 too, where it says, for we are God's workmanship. God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. For as we receive, then we're able to give. As we come tonight and let him serve us, we're able to go and serve others. As we come tonight and say with open hands, God, come and fill me, satisfy my needs, then we find that we have grace to share with others. And those around you, neighbors, friends, they need God's grace far more than we often realize. So may we receive with faith and thanksgiving humbly tonight with an abundant heart that we'll then be able to share with others.